How you doing, CLCC?
Great.
How doing?
Good.
Good, awesome. Isn't that an awesome worship we just had in His presence? So good. So good to be in His presence, let me tell you. There's nothing like it. We can definitely say we've been to some different roads. Some of us have been down different roads before that weren't with Christ. Some of us were down roads that just didn't really help us out very much. But I'll tell you one thing. I love being down this road with Him. The straight and narrow, almost, you'd say. Sometimes it doesn't feel so straight. Sometimes it feels more curvy than straight, I'll say that. And bumpy, yeah, you're right. And bumpy. But it's nice to be in His presence. Just refreshes us. And we know that He loves us so much that He wants to meet with us. Amen? Let's all just take a moment and just bow our heads. Just want to start off with a word of prayer this morning. God, You're just so good. You are so good. You are so gracious. And we are so grateful for what You've done in our hearts, in our lives, Father, where we could be somewhere else, lost, oblivious to You, oblivious to what's going on in Your kingdom. We could be out there in the world wondering if it's safe. We'd be scared out of our minds, frustrated, out of our wits, God, anxiety all around us. But Lord, we know we are safe in Your kingdom. We are safe in the palm of Your hands. We're so thankful and so grateful for what You've given us, Father. You've given us this wonderful building, Lord. You've given us chairs to sit in. You've given us food on our tables, Father. You've given us a little extra spending money in America. We're so blessed, Father. And I just want to say we're so grateful this morning for all the wonderful things that You've done. We're so grateful. We're so thankful, God, because we know there's other people out there that don't have this. They don't have any. They don't even have a building to meet in, oh God. They're persecuted because of speaking the gospel. And Lord, we just say we're just so thankful, God, for what You've blessed us with. And we're so thankful that Your presence is here, oh God. Because You don't have to show up, God. You are God of the universe. You are King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And You don't have to show up. But You choose to show up to have a relationship with us. And we are so thankful. But Father, even though Your presence is here, oh God, we're not satisfied. We want to see Your presence here more. We want to see You show up more, oh God. That's our heart's desire. We're so thankful for what You've done. We're grateful for what You've done, God. But God, we're not content. We know You have so much more to offer. So God, we ask, God, that You would come down in Your presence. And You'd bring Your power. You'd bring Your glory. You bring Your fire. You bring Your healing. You would bring all the wonderfulness that You do. Because when Your presence is here, power overflows. Miracles overflow. Signs and wonders overflow. Lord, we want to see Your glory. We want to be able to touch the hem of Your garment. Thank You, Father. We're so grateful, but we're not content. We need You more. And Father, that's our prayer today, that we have more of You, that You would create a hunger inside of each and every one of us, that we just can't stay where we are. We have to have more because there's so much more that we have yet to experience with You and through You and to give to others in this dying world. We thank You, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, the Lord wants to do something today. He wants to encourage every one of us today. And if I had to title my sermon, it would be, the title is, The Power of His Presence. The Power of His Presence. If you turn your Bibles to Genesis 18, we're going to look at a few times that His presence showed up and things happened. So Genesis 18 is what we're looking at. Talking about Abraham. Abraham knew God. He met him quite a few times. And he knew about his presence. So in verse 1, chapter 18, the Lord appeared to Abraham near the great trees of Moriah. Now, for those of you that know that my pronunciation and my diction and how I say these words, I'm so sorry. I was looking at my future wife during Bible class when I was learning how to say these words correctly, so I do apologize for that. But it couldn't be helped. I'm sorry. It was my future wife. I just knew it. So, you know, that's how it is. So I missed that. Sorry, Elam Bible Institute. I missed that class. I was looking too much at her. I do ask for your forgiveness. Marie, while he was sitting at the entrance to his tent in the heat of the day, Abraham looked up and saw three men standing nearby. When he saw them, he hurried from the entrance of his tent to meet them and bowed low to the ground. He said, "If I have found favor in your eyes, my lord, do not pass your servant by. Let a little water be brought, and then you may all wash your feet and rest under this tree. Let me get you something to eat so that you can be refreshed and then go on your way. Now that you have come to your servant." "Very well," they answered. "Do as you say." I love how Abraham recognized his presence. Three men came by. Could have been anybody. But I love how Abraham recognized his presence. Three travelers. It could have been anybody. But he recognized that it was the Lord. I love that. Then we're going to skip down to verse 9. "Where is your wife Sarah?" they asked him. "They're in the tent," he said. Then one of them said, "I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah your wife will have a son." Now Sarah was listening at the entrance to the tent, which was behind him. Abraham and Sarah were already very old, and Sarah was past the age of childbearing. So Sarah laughed to herself as she thought, "After I am worn out, and my Lord is old, will I now have this pleasure?" The Lord said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh and say, 'Will I really have a child now that I am old?' Is anything too hard for the Lord? Is anything too hard for the Lord? I will return to you at the appointed time next year, and Sarah will have a son." Two things the Lord wanted me to highlight in this. Number one, that when his presence shows up, he acknowledged the promise that was given to Abram and bringing the fulfillment. When his presence shows up, he brings fulfillment to his promises. And that was before he was actually called into being Abraham. That was when he was Abram back then. So God will give you the fulfillment of those promises that he gave to you. Number two, that he will do the impossible. When his presence shows up, he does the impossible. I mean, how many of you want that to happen to you? I want to see it in my life. Father, do the impossible. Sarah's old. Abraham's old. I mean, they old people. They old. They're pushing 100. I don't know how many people want to have a baby when they're 100, but you know, that's okay, you know, whatever. But they old. And God says, "Nope. I gave you a promise. I plan a fulfillment. And if it takes the impossible, I will do it." So I'm going to give you a golden nugget right here. You ready for a golden nugget? This is a great quote. And I'm not talking about one of those little nuggets that you get like in the candy store that's wrapped up in this little golden chocolate inside. It's special chocolate or dark chocolate or milk chocolate. I'm not talking about one of those, because those are good. They're pretty good. I agree. If I had one, I might eat one right now, but I might. If I had one, I'd give to you guys, golden nuggets, but I got something else for you. So this golden nugget, you ready? If you recognize his presence, then you will be able to welcome it. Come on, somebody. Isn't that so true? If you recognize his presence, you will then be able to welcome it. It's so true, and it's so good. Because if you don't recognize his presence, you won't know to welcome him. If Abraham did not recognize that it was the Lord, he could have missed out on such a huge thing happening to him. Now, you might say to Van, well, how do I recognize his presence? How do I do that? Well, CLCC, we do as the scripture says. My sheep hear my voice, is what Jesus says. So that means we need to spend time with him to recognize his presence. And that means worship, that means Bible, that means spending time in his presence, period. Spending time with him, talking about him, listening to him. It's just like driving to church from your house. The more you do it, the more you know. I mean, really, come on. I mean, how many of you know how to get here? I mean, I know Pastor Steve knows how to get here. He's been doing it for 150 years. I'm just kidding. It's only 70. My bad. I'm just kidding. Only a little. Well, I guess I'm not going to his house to eat today. Oh. No. But I will say, it's just like driving. And how many of you love Pastor Steve? How many of you love, I love Pastor Steve. I mean, let's give a hand up. Let's honor the man of God. He hates us. I know he does. But let's just pray for him right now. I felt like we need to pray for him as a church body real quick. I'm going to interrupt this, and we're going to pray for him. So, Father, right now, I thank you for Pastor Steve. I thank you, Lord, that he is a lover of you, and he is a son of you. And, Father, I thank you that he is doing a great job here at CLCC, that he needs to be encouraged. And, Lord, I thank you that you have great things in store for him at this church. You have great things in store for him, not only at this church, but in life in general, Father. And, Lord, I bless this man of God. And, Lord, I ask, God, that you would pour out your blessing on him each and every day. Pour out your presence on him, Father, as you are continually taking him deeper and deeper into you, Father. And, Lord, I say thank you right now for this father-in-law, for this man of God, for this senior pastor. Lord, I thank you right now for him. Bless him and continually to renew his strength in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Sometimes we got to encourage our leadership, you know? Sometimes we have to. And it's a good thing. It's a blessing. Now, getting back to driving to church, I can tell you some stories about driving to church. Let me tell you, I've been through some very interesting ways of driving to church because, you know, the more you drive to church, you know, the more you're more familiar with it, just like his presence. I remember one time I was driving to church, I had a mentor down in New Orleans. His name was James Roussel. Helped me at a huge time of my life when my father wasn't there. And he had a Corvette. Yeah. So what we would do down in New Orleans, now remember, New Orleans, if it's, you know, they consider cold if it's 50. They got winter coats on and everything if it's 50 degrees. They're like, it's freezing. That's the way it is down there. But if it's 110, they're out there with jeans on. Oh, it's not bad. I'm just like, yeah, okay. And we would take his Corvette to church some Sunday mornings. We knew how to drive the church. He knew how to drive the church because he would put the top down. It was like 50 degrees outside, 56 degrees, which is cold down there. He'd put the top down, blast the heat. He'd blast the heat because it was cold, apparently, to them. And then we'd play Petra. And I mean, some of you old people might know what Petra is. I remember Petra a little bit. But we'd blast it. We'd blast it out. We'd arrive at church. That's how we drove to church with my friend James Roussel. Now, I do remember other times when I was in high school, when I was in Virginia, that there were times that I wrote a song. And the song I wrote was Jesus Take the Wheel. Maybe y'all didn't realize I wrote that song, but I did. Because when I was riding with my friend, she was putting on her makeup, and that was more important than watching where the road was. And I was like, oh, Jesus, take the wheel. Woo! Let me tell you, I wrote that song a long time ago. They just happened to do it a little bit different than I did. So just want to let you know. I'm still looking for the rights for that, but I don't know. I didn't get those yet. Or the royalty check. I'm still waiting. Still waiting for that. But you know, being able to recognize him is the most important thing. Because then we can welcome him into our lives. Let's turn to 2 Chronicles 7. We're going to look at another time where his presence showed up. And something else amazing happened with it. 2 Chronicles 7. And if you know Chronicles, you're like, well, I know he's talking about the kings. There's some kings in there he's talking about. I know David, Jeroboam, Rehoboam, Solomon. Well, we're going to Solomon this time. So in verse 1, when Solomon finished praying, they had just, I will give you a little background, they just completed the temple of David / Solomon. And I call it that way because David prepared for it to be made, but Solomon actually built it. It was David's heart there would be a temple in Jerusalem. It was always his heart. And then his son got to do it for him, which is awesome. That's a whole other story right there. That's a whole other sermon right there. We can go into lineage. We can go into the legacy of our fathers, but I won't go to that just yet. So after they finished the temple, when Solomon finished praying, fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offerings and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the temple. Ooh, come on, somebody.
Come on.
I want the glory of the Lord to fill this temple and this temple right here. Yes, Lord, do it. The priests could not enter the temple of the Lord because the glory of the Lord filled it. Wouldn't that be crazy? Pastor Kurt's trying to get in here to open up the church. I can't go in. The glory is here. I can't go in. Don't know what's going to happen if I go inside. That's going to be, but God is here. Because the glory of the Lord filled it. When all the Israelites saw fire coming down, come on, fire coming down, and the glory of the Lord above the temple, they knelt on the pavement. They didn't knelt on the carpet. They didn't have nice chairs either. They knelt on the pavement with their faces to the ground, and they worshiped and gave thanks to the Lord, saying, He is good, and His love endures forever. Let me tell you what, God showed up. His presence showed up and brought His glory and His fire with Him. Come on, Lord, do it here at CLCC.
Do it.
Come on. Let the fire department start ringing their noise because this church is on fire for Jesus. Could you imagine if something like that happened today? Could you imagine that? If all of a sudden this huge pillar of fire came down on CLCC and stayed there. The fire department wouldn't know what to do. They have their hoses out. This fire's not going out. We don't know what to do with it. Nothing's burning up. Poor neighbors. They couldn't get any sleep at night because the fire's so bright they couldn't get in total darkness. But the glory of the Lord would be here. Could you imagine how that would be? To be in the presence of the Lord when something like that happened? Whew! Just want to highlight a few things. His presence came, and with it brought His fire and His glory. Amen? God can do the same yesterday, today, and forever. God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Why can't He do that again? Come on. He can. And if you read on the chapter, they had 14 days of church. I didn't read it there, but if you want to read on, please do. They had 14 days of just pure sacrifices to the Lord. And 7 days for that, and another 7 days are festivals. For they were just praising God for everything He had done. Now let me tell you what. I mean, that's church in a cover dish is what I'm thinking. Or a potluck, as y'all call it up here. I'm thinking that's some serious for 7 days. How long that is? That means you don't go to work for a week because God's glory is here so massive. His presence is here so massive that you couldn't even do anything. Come on, Lord, do it. And then I love this other part. That God honored Solomon and the nation, and He gave them wealth, power, wisdom, fame, and fortune. His presence came down, but He also blessed the nation. He brought His blessings. I mean, if you go further and read, you read about how silver in Jerusalem at that time was just as stones. it was just the same equivalency because there was so much silver, so much gold, the silver was equivalent to just stones. That's amazing. There was such blessing, such wealth, because His presence showed up. Lord, we could use a little bit of that here, couldn't we? We could use a little wealth. We got some projects we could do. We could raise the roof. Woo! We could do some buy some new stuff. We could even give salaries out to deacons. Whoa, that's a little much there. Wow. We could do a lot of things. God, do it. So here's another golden nugget for you today. Are you ready? All right, Jack, here it goes. When His presence shows up, He will always surpass your image of Him. Come on. Doesn't he do that? When His presence shows up, He will always surpass your image of Him. It's so true. It's the power of His presence. One last one I wanted to leave you with today. And we're going to turn to Luke 23. And I could not get away from this one. I had a few different ones I had to edit down. And I was like, all right, this one. Because, I mean, let's face it. The Bible is full of His presence. I mean, if we look at different prophets, we look at the life of Jesus, especially, I mean, goodness, there's His presence alone right there. But He would not let me leave this one alone. You got it? Good. So Luke 23:39. Here it is, verse 39. One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at Him. This is when Jesus is on the cross, being crucified, and everything is happening. One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at Him. Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us. But the other criminal rebuked Him. Don't you fear God, he said, since you are under the same sentence? We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong. Then he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus answered him, truly I tell you, today you'll be with me in paradise. God showed me something different in that. It's very interesting that they're in a bad situation. I mean, Jesus is dying right there on the spot. Yet His presence is still there. Yet you have two people around Him that are both dying there on the spot. One curses and one blesses Him. And even though that one man could ask anything of Jesus at that time, he could ask anything. He could say, save me and save yourself, just like the criminal said. He said, save me. Get me out of this situation. Get me out of what's going on. But he didn't. He said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. What he's saying is, Jesus, I want to be in your presence. I want to be in your presence. Because his presence is more impacting than what he could do. Even though the situation, he was dying, he was doing something he did not want to have happen to him. Even though his situation was dire, yet he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Remember me, I just want to be in your presence. This is only temporary. Let me be in your presence. How many times are we in tough situations and we ask for things, but we really don't want His presence? How many times do we ask, oh God, I need this, oh God, I need that, oh God, I need that, but yet we're not going to go through the relationship with Him, of His presence. God, forgive us. I've done that before, and I forget how good of a God he is, because I'm asking him for all these different things. I keep asking him for these things. But yet he's like, don't ask these things. I want to spend time with you. I want you to be in my presence. We need his presence more than anything. No matter what our situation is, no matter what's going on, it's his presence that is there, that sustains us, that helps us. When you focus on his power, you rob yourself of an encounter with him. That's a tough one. Because we're always asking for things. And we do need these things. But when we focus on what he can do for us, than who he is, we rob ourselves of that relationship with him. And when we rob ourselves of his presence, his power is not going to be there. Because when his presence is there, there's the byproduct of the power, the healing, the touching, the signs and wonders, the Shekinah glory, the fire. And the real power of him is his presence. The real power of him is his presence. We've looked at a few different things today in the Old Testament and the New. But it comes down to this. Do you want his presence? Do you want that relationship with him? We all have needs. Don't get me wrong. We all have needs. And some needs are definitely more than others. I understand that. We all need things. But if we don't prioritize his presence first, then we're missing out on something awesome. Because if the Lord were to do something in your life, and you just require and you just ask for the power, there is a huge opportunity where you will just go back to asking for his power and not actually receive his presence. And that does happen. And I've seen it and I heard it. Where someone will be healed, something great will happen to someone, and then about 2 or 3 months later, because there was no presence in it, they decide to go back to what they were doing before without him. We have to have his presence. And when we have his presence, we can be who we're called to be. We can be the loving pastor, the loving husband, the loving father, the loving mother, the loving grandfather, the loving grandmother. We can be those things. We can be the best deacon. We can be the best elder. We can be the best child of God who we are. But we need his presence. It's first and foremost. We have to prioritize his presence. Because when we ask for his presence, things get interesting. Things get exciting. We get to see healings. We get to see miracles. We get to see people like Lazarus raised back from the dead. We get to see the woman who was caught in sin, freedom and forgiveness. We get to see the kingdom advancing where others can be saved and know about the wonderfulness of Jesus Christ. We can walk into hospitals. And because our shadow hits somebody, because the presence of the Lord is on us so strongly that the shadow that we cast is healing people. Come on, somebody. We can see those things. We can have days where we're getting ready to go to work, but the glory of the Lord comes down in such a miraculous way while we're at work that the work has to shut down. Because people are on their faces asking for repentance. Come on, somebody. I'm not telling you things that have not happened. These things have already happened. I'm not talking to you about a time that I thought might happen or something that might occur. I'm talking about actual, real documentation of God showing up in such a great way. God showed up in such a great way in one town that all the bars closed down because no one wanted to drink anymore. They had to go to church. Come on. Wouldn't that be amazing? Newville, There's not many bars there, but there's still some places. Carlisle. No one wants to drink anymore. It's like, we just got to get in His presence. We just got to go to church where His presence is. I know I've been in services where God's glory's come down in such a miraculous, strong way that you're just on the floor for hours. And that's all you can do. You can't do anything else. God is so on you, His presence is so on you so heavily that you're crying, you're weeping. And that's all you can do. You don't even, sometimes you just don't even make a sound because of how awesome His presence is. And time doesn't matter then. Let me tell you, you can spend 3-4 hours in His presence and be like, wow, that felt like 10 minutes. I'm telling you, when His presence shows up, things happen. But we have to make sure that we focus on His presence most importantly. I want to encourage everyone today to make his presence our number one priority. Make it your number one priority. Like I said, I know we all have needs. We all have things we want as well. And there are things that we desperately need. But let me tell you, His presence is going to bring stuff to your life that you won't regret. If you want more of His presence in your life, I just want to encourage you to stand up right now. If you want more, this is saying, God, I want more of Your presence. I need more of Your presence. And that's if you can stand. If you can't stand, that's okay. Know in your heart, just raise your hand then, that God knows, hey, I want more of His presence. I want to have Stacy play a song for us. And during this time, enter in. Just enter in. Don't hold back. Just go for it. Just go for it. Make His presence number one priority. Thank you, Jesus.
Moment, I never wanna leave.
Father, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. You're so good. You're so good. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Nothing else but your presence, Father. We thank you, Father, that your presence is our number one priority. We thank you, Father. And Lord, we're sorry that we've come with our own agendas. We've come just because we needed something from you. We're so sorry, Father. Forgive us. And Lord, we make your presence number one priority in our lives. We make your presence number one priority. Father, we know with your presence you bring great gifts. That says that in your presence there is fullness of joy. Amen, church? Amen? How many of you can experience some fullness of joy today? How many of you need some of that? Some fullness of joy. And when I'm talking about winning a football game, I'm not talking about a joy when you eat a Texas Roadhouse roll. I'm not talking about when you get a fresh Krispy Kreme off the line, it's hot. I'm not talking about that type of joy. Although those are good. I'm not going to lie. Now you're all hungry now, so you're welcome. But what I'm talking about, fullness of joy, when he came through and he had an encounter with you. When you remember when you first asked Jesus in your heart, that joy. When you are being used of him to lead someone else to Christ. That joy cannot be duplicated by anything. That's fullness of joy. And in his presence, there is fullness of joy. Thank you, Father. So as we leave today, just want to pray one last prayer. Thank you, Father. Lord, we thank you for all you've done. We're so grateful for all you've done. But Lord, we make a shift today. And if, Lord, your presence has been number one in our lives already, then we just reaffirm it today. that we're going to prioritize your presence in our lives. Because when your presence shows up, things happen. And we thank you today for showing up. And we ask, God, that we would have more of your presence in our lives, more in this church, more in our families, more in our jobs, more in our schools, that we'd have more, that you'd help us deal with the situations out there. Because, Father, we know that you do miracles and you are a good God. So, Father, we put you number one on our priority list of your presence. And we thank you, Father, for meeting with us today. Help us leave here changed, for I know that you've touched each and every one of our hearts today. But Lord, let us always remember that it's about your presence. Your power is great. Your glory is great. But Lord, it's your presence that we require more than anything else. And if you're in the room, then we know we're in a good place. In Jesus' name, amen.